Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial issues. All the indices still in positive territory. This is good kind of movement that we're seeing. It's the kind of movement I like to see. You know, we haven't seen any real dramatic moves. It wasn't a big move down. We haven't seen big moves up. We haven't seen any of that really in 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. I can't remember the last time we've seen any real dramatic moves. That's very healthy. It just gives a sense, maybe just to me, but gives a sense of, stability in the markets, in the economy. It gives a sense of not a lot of worry, concern, not concerned about any major events. A lot of it is the Fed is out of the picture. That's always a good thing. So, you know, we continue to see this, low volatility. The volatility index, for what it's worth, I never talk about this. I don't even know why I am. But, is sitting around 14. That's about where it's been all year. It hasn't moved. So then, why is it a volatility index? Because, yes, it's been at 14, but it hasn't been volatile. So, I mean, we're seeing stability in the volatility index. So if there's stability in a volatile index where it's hanging around 14, is there really volatility? I mean, when does 14 become a new normal or baseline for volatility? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not asking a question because I care about the answer. I really don't, but I'm just trying to think logically. It doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, all that being said, we don't have a whole lot of movement. Markets are up. That's good, but they're not up by much, and I think that's good. The markets are down. That's okay. That's normal, but they're not down by much, and all of that is very good. And here's one of the reasons from my perspective. It's because of the FANG stocks. They got beat up. They got killed, and they haven't come back, and I hope they don't. I mean, we don't own any of those. They're not biblically responsible. But you know what? Good for that. It's killing the ETFs that have those in there, which is the vast majority of their holdings in these FANG stocks are coming from ETFs. So, I've never understood these ETFs that don't really have diversity. How does an ETF claim to have diversity when they've got the vast majority of their money in five positions? I mean, that's not diversity. But anyway, I'm going down a path I don't need to go down. Anyway, it's Rapid Fire Friday. We try to stick to calls. We've got the Ag Report coming up in a few minutes. As soon as that happens, we're going to go. Right now, the headlines are saying that U.S.-China optimism is driving the markets higher. Now, I'm not sure what optimism. Here's the only thing that we got out of yesterday. So the Chinese delegation met with our delegation. It was considered to be high-level negotiations, not mid-level, but high-level negotiations. Remember, the vice premier was involved in these negotiations yesterday. That would be the equivalent of Mike Pence being involved in the negotiations with us. I mean, so these are high-level negotiations. And when they left the meeting yesterday, the Chinese delegation had been pretty good about, you know, talking to the press, answering questions, given some sort of a tone as to the way things were. And they walked right on by the press yesterday. They never said a word. We said a little bit, I guess, to indicate to some reports coming out of Reuters and AP indicating that the sticking point is verification. So we talked yesterday about the six memorandum of understanding, the six of them that they are putting out. So we talked about that yesterday. And so one of those six memorandums of understanding included the theft of intellectual property. That was part of that on corporate intellectual property. Now, I won't go belabor what I said. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with it happening. It shouldn't happen. But my bigger problem is with corporate America, who is dumb enough to go over there and expose themselves to the theft of the intellectual property. And I'm not sure we should be policing the lack of business savvy that big corporations have when they go over there. And that's on them as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, we want to verify that. We want to verify that. So when we want to verify that, they don't want to be verified. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't like it. They're agree to do it, but they don't want the verification part. And that seems to be the stumbling block. Okay, here comes our ag report. Craig Haggart going to wrap up the week with our ag commodities. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market bounced higher yesterday on the news that China may buy $30 million worth of U.S. agricultural products. Yesterday was also the first day of the USDA Outlook Forum, and they released an estimate that in 2019-20, America's farmers will plant 92 million acres of corn. Now, in spite of yesterday's friendly news, the March corn futures remain trapped in a 10-cent trading range. It'll be interesting to see if we can break out of that range in the near future. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading 1 cent higher. The soybean market bounced higher yesterday, recovering from Wednesday's losses, as talk of China looking to possibly buy additional U.S. soybeans got traders excited. Prices garnered additional support from the USDA Outlook Forum, where they announced that they expect soybean acreage in the United States to be down 4 million acres less than last year. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange is pegging the Argentinian soybean crop at 53 million metric tons of production. And the crop is looking pretty good as it's rated 87% good to excellent. So that may weigh on this market as we move forward. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up a penny. Yesterday saw the wheat market bounce off of Wednesday's lows on technical buying and strength in the corn and bean markets. The USDA's Ag Forum is estimating that this year all wheat acres in the United States will come in at 47 million acres planted. That compares to 47.8 million acres of wheat planted last year. From a world production perspective, the International Grains Council has pegged the 2018-19 world wheat production at 735 million metric tons, down 2 million from their previous estimate. In the overnight trade, Chicago is unchanged, Kansas City is a penny higher, and Minneapolis is up 2 cents. Cotton futures benefited from the Chinese optimism yesterday, with March futures closing up 191 points to settle at 72.19. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading up an additional 80 points. The livestock market was split yesterday. After getting beat hard for a couple of sessions, lean hog futures were stronger, while cattle futures lost ground. For the session, April lean hogs closed up $2.97 to settle at $55.95. April live cattle were 60 cents lower for the day, while March feeder cattle closed down 65 cents. March Class 3 milk futures turned in a good session as they closed up 12 points to settle at 14.72. In the overnight trade, Class 3 spot milk futures are trading up an additional 3 points. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.58 higher at $2.18.07, while selects were 9 cents lower as they settled at $2.11.41. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.06 higher for the day as they closed out the session at $61.23. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We're going to get right back. We're going to get to calls, 844-707-5533. I want to remind you that a week from tomorrow, right? Yeah, a week from tomorrow, we will be in, I'll be in Oklahoma, Edmond, Oklahoma, for a town hall meeting. So we're really excited about that. I've been in Oklahoma in about 4 or 5 years. So I'm very excited about getting back there. I hope you're going to come out. You are going to come out, right? I mean, I sure hope so. But we will be in Edmond, Oklahoma, next Friday. Go to the website, financialissues.org. You can get the address. But I sure do hope that you're going to be there. If you live anywhere near Edmond, Oklahoma, come on out. It's free. We start Thursday evening at 6:30. 6:30 next Thursday evening. 6:30. Fairview Baptist Church. Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma. So Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma, 6:30 on the 7th. So come on out. We're going to have a great time. I'll be there early. My wife and I will try to meet as many people as we can. I would love to have an opportunity to say hello. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. So I hope you'll be there. Does it cost anything? We don't ask you to do anything. You just got to show up and enjoy. So I hope you're there. Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church. So next Thursday, that'll be a week from tomorrow. All right, let me go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Maria calling us from Indiana. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Dan. I have a short comment that leads me to my question. I'm a new partner.
Thank you.
And I thank you very much for your ministry because I think I'm going to get all of my community influenced by you now. So,
thank you.
Including the millennials. My advisor is a millennial.
Oh,
so
great.
Anyway, I am also an obstetrician gynecologist, and I foresee that with the legislation that's going on in now, the maternal mortality rate will increase, the perinatal mortality rate will increase, and I think the day will come when it will be legislated that it's okay to kill somebody, so that homicide rate will rise.
Maria, can I interrupt you for a second? I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I guess, and I agree with what you just said 100%. The only thing that I'm wondering, so will they count this kind of, I don't want to call it a failed abortion. Some people call it a failed abortion. But this death after birth, will they count that in the mortality rate?
Well, what will happen is that, the use of abortion is in like late-term abortion.
Yes.
The way we do it, you know, in medical terms, in obstetrical terms, abortion only is before 20 weeks. After 20 weeks, the baby is viable. So you could just imagine the effort and the money that goes to saving a wanted baby, okay?
Yes.
So now after 20, suppose a baby who's 36 weeks dies in utero, okay, dies naturally in utero.
Yes.
The way we do that baby is we do a what we call a hysterotomy, which is like a C-section, and we deliver that baby out of the womb like that. Mm-hmm. We don't do the... All the other stuff that are used in politics, it's not the way we do it. Those are used in the third world, in other places where there is no sterility, there is no understanding because you know, when you do this, the problem that I have with this is nobody talks about the post postpartum, or I refer it postpartum in general, effect on the mother. So what will also increase will be the mental health issues. There will be a lot of suicidal issues, and there will be more, and because nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody talks about what happens. They think they have the freedom to do this, but this is not freedom. I have delivered a mother years after she had her initial abortion. The first baby was an aborted baby, and then she had a normal delivery years later. I tell you, she is like a quivering mass of anxiety. One time, there was a nurse that she nearly kicked out of the room because she was flailing around. But nobody talks about this. Nobody talks about this. And also the bleeding. You know, when you have seen the bleeding that comes from this type of cases, you will you will not even think about it. It's horrific. It's horrific.
It's just,
and
it's,
so,
it's so hard to believe. It's so hard to believe. That, you know, we live in a society today that believes if it's legal, it's okay. You know, it's like the legality of certain things is for so many people means that it's okay. See, it's okay to smoke marijuana if it's legal. It's only not okay if it's illegal, but making it legal in some states makes it perfectly acceptable. And that's a very poor example of what we're talking about here. But you get the picture that when things are made legal, you know, I used to tell my children growing up when they would say, Dad, everybody's doing it. I would say, listen, the will of the majority is not necessarily the will of God. It doesn't make it right. Because everybody's being stupid, it doesn't make it right. And they used to get mad at me when I said it. Now I'm, you know, they're going to be saying it to their children, I'm sure. But, you know, we don't look at that. We look at, you know, I think that there is so much victory in legalizing things that the left is so adamant about putting through because it gives it brings a certain it makes it legitimate, and therefore it must be right. It must be okay, even from a moral perspective. Mm-hmm. Must be okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think what they're doing is legislating away guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question regarding statistics, you know that statistics can be manipulated.
Yes, yes, I
right?
do. Yes.
Like, for example, when you look at, like, my dad's death certificate, it doesn't say exactly what he died of. It just says, who doesn't die from heart attack and respiratory failure?
Right, right.
You know, how do you, if you do that with a baby, okay, everybody, so say the baby, it will not say that this is a, it will say perhaps 37 weeks, had a, respiratory distress syndrome, blah, blah, blah. It will not even, it depends a lot on the way the hospital is, you know, the finances.
Yes,
the finances
yes, yes, yes.
And
yep.
So this, you know, this thing about all these legislations, it really is disturbing me a lot because I look at where this is going. We are going to be like a third world country and worse than
and
third
worse.
World country because we know better.
Yeah.
So now then, it leads me to my question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I've been meaning to explain this to, you know, I owe everything that I am from the state of New York, and I do love New York the way it was, but the first thing I published in social media was, if you are meditating on doing whatever it is you want to do with your health, please consult an obstetrician gynecologist. At least we can properly advise them.
Yes.
On what, on how to address, where to go, this idea of any professional, quote-unquote professional, can do the AB is just inviting so much trouble. Mm. It's just too much trouble, Dan. It can't even, it feels like I'm the bringer, the messenger of doom, but I have seen it. That's why I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
I have seen it.
Mm.
So now then, back to my question.
Yeah.
how does, if I have a feeling that if we do not vote well the next time, we are just going to perpetuate this culture of death. So how does it affect the way we plan for our portfolios then?
Yeah, boy, isn't that a good question? Holy mackerel. I think that it's going to impact how, not how we plan now, but I think it has to impact the what we do immediately following such a dramatic loss. I'll give you an example of the last presidential election. The last presidential election, I felt relatively certain, though I was fighting tooth and nail for President Trump, I felt relatively certain that it was really a big uphill battle and he probably won't win. Even that night, I stayed up all night. I never did go to sleep that night. But when people called me for an interview because they knew I lived in the state of Pennsylvania and things, the state of Pennsylvania was hanging in balance. And I said to all of them the same thing when they asked me, what do I think? I said, all I can tell you is that if he wins the state of Pennsylvania, we know one thing for certain, that this is ordained of God. Because he can't win the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, if he does, it's God. And we don't have anything to worry about. I think that obviously on Tuesday. The following Tuesday, I had a town hall meeting in Arkansas. And I had already planned on what I was going to tell the people at that town hall meeting that they absolutely must do immediately right now to their portfolios to protect what they have. So I don't think we ought to plan for it now, but I do think that we better be paying attention maybe the day before, depend on how things look, or the day after. But we better pay attention and have the agility in our portfolio to move very quickly. And I don't want to sound like a commercial, but that's why being a partner is going to be so important after this next election. I really believe that, Maria. Maria. Folks, I apologize. All our phone systems went dead. We had a full board. I was talking to Maria off air. So I am going to hope that Maria is still listening so I can finish my thoughts. And it'll be edifying to everybody anyway. So it's a good thing. Maria asked me a very, very good question that I want to share with everybody. She asked me this just while we were on break. And she said, you know, what happens if from a political perspective, we see what happens. We see that if they take control, if they being the left begins to take control, how do we protect or plan for our finances for that? I don't think we can. Well, I think we can, but I don't think we should. And I don't like saying this, folks. I really don't. But it's why I want you to partner with the ministry. I'm not always right. I'm not always going to be, hit the nail on the head all the time. But I will say this, and I'll just leave it at this. In those times, you will need an unbiased person that is coming to you from the perspective of godly counsel to give you some advice. not somebody that has an agenda that is going to profit by what you do or don't do. And so I would tell you that during the presidential election that I was just talking about this, I don't remember whether I was on the air saying this or not, or talking to Maria offline. Our phones are back up, by the way, if you want to call in 844-707-5533. But I remember what I had planned for a Rogers, Arkansas town hall meeting a few days after the election. And it was planned for what we had to do immediately with our portfolio if Hillary had won. And I am going to have that same plan going up to these next presidential elections. And I am going to ask our partners, you will get that plan before the next trading day, in all likelihood. You will get that. You will be able to act on it quickly. And I think it's going to be critically important that you do. Now, there is a very strong possibility that we could have a number of geopolitical events. We could have the president coming under such attack that he begins to crash and burn. And it is beginning to look like, not on his own, I'm talking about through attack, through the war that is being waged against this man, not against the presidency, against this man. And it looks like he's lost his defense system and he starts to crash and burn. And it looks like this, whoever it might be, who only the Lord knows, who he is going to raise up to run in opposition against his president. The question is going to be a theological one in the next election. Is God going to give us the desires of our heart? Is he going to give us over to that? The Bible says he will do that. Will he give us over to the desires of our heart? If that is true, and this person is elected, we've got to make immediate changes. And if it looks as though that's going to happen, we got to make changes. And I can only hope and pray that you will be a partner a little bit as much time before that has happened, so you get used to how things are working in our partnership. Because there are going to be steps. Are they going to really help us? No, to be honest. Are they going to give us a little peace of mind? Probably. Could they help us? Yes. Could doing nothing help us? No. But could this strategy that will be adopted immediately, will that help us? Yes, I believe it'll help us. If nothing else, it'll give us a little bit more staying power until everything is taken over. Now, so I think, Maria, you're doing the right things. I do think you need to consolidate, depend upon the one person that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can rely upon, that you can trust fully with all of your heart, and that is yourself. And make your mistakes, go through your learning curve, become a better steward of your finances as a result of it, and trust that maybe for the first time in your entire life, you are honoring God with every nickel that you have. You've invited Christ into your finances and lean upon him and trust that everything's going to be okay and enjoy the peace that I know he's going to give you. So do I think you should do it? Absolutely, Maria. I wouldn't hesitate. I would begin the process. It doesn't mean you've got to bring all this money into your portfolio now, wherever you didn't say where you were, but TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, wherever it is, bring it all in there. It doesn't mean you've got to quick get it invested. You don't have to do that. Sit back and relax. Take your time. Learn a little bit more. In the meantime, it can't go down. Maybe not is invested to go up anymore, but just you have it all in one place. You can be a good steward of it. You can watch over it. You can start building your portfolio the way God would have you to build it. So that's what I think we need to do. Now, having said that, I wasn't going to go here, but I'm use this opportunity. I was going to do this later next week because I'm trying to get some information from some people that I know are close to this in Washington. But I've been saying this a lot in the last couple of weeks as people call in. Please, there is absolutely no reason. Do you know that 90% of the wealth of the nation is with baby boomers, my age, and over 80% of that is in qualified money? We're talking about $17, $18 trillion in qualified money. Qualified money is 401k, IRA, simple, SEPs, Roth accounts, TSP, whatever. You know, you get the picture. Anything that is regulated by the IRS. Please don't do that. Look, if your company, if you are contributing to your 401k and your company is matching, you got to do it. I want you to do it. But think. We can't have, well, that's so great. I'm not paying taxes. It's all being deferred or it's growing tax-free. I'm going to open another account and I'm going to do more. Now I'm maxed out. I can't do anymore. So I'm going to backdoor my Roth by contributing more to my 401k. And then I'm going to transfer it over to my Roth so I can get more money in my Roth. And I'm working so hard day and night. Why? Because you don't want to pay a little tax. Think about it. You don't want to pay a little tax. My advice to you, and I might not be here when you appreciate your advice. I may be in glory. It may be 20 years from now. I don't know when it may be two years from now, maybe 2020. But there will be a point in time that you will appreciate that advice that you're hearing from Financial Issues. I hope you will appreciate it so much that you will bless the ministry. Even if I'm dead and gone, the ministry will still be here. Anyway, I'm going to talk more about that whole thing. But if your company's matching, man, do your 401k. If your company is matching and you can max it out, do it. Do whatever you can do. But don't just keep going from qualified plan to qualified plan to qualified plan to deferred taxes. I mean, annuities. Everything's deferred. I don't ever have to pay any tax. Please. It's going to come back. I don't say it's going to. It could very easily. I suspect it will, but it could very easily come back to haunt you. Let's be prudent. Let's be wise. I pray every day that any wisdom that I have comes from God, that I might have some understanding of the times as the sons of Issachar. I've asked thousands of people over the years to pray that prayer for me, so I know that there are thousands of people praying that same thing. I can only hope and pray and feel very assured that God is answering that prayer. I would just ask you to be prudent and wise and do that. It's really important for you, for your family, and for the kingdom of Christ. There are going to be people suffering. You got to protect your money. Because if we get to that place, you got to have money to help. You got to have money to give to the person that is struggling and suffering as a result of what might be going on in this economy. You might have to give your money to somewhere or something that is having a dramatic impact for the cause of Christ. And you are the only one that still has some of their money. I hope that is the case. All right, we got to go to break. I'm sorry. We got two lines open, 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Folks, we've got another hour and 10 minutes left. We have lines open. Cue your call up, 844-707-5533. And just a reminder, if you haven't registered for the retreat, I hope you will do that. Folks, pray about it. Look at it. It is something that you won't regret. I promise you, you won't have a second of regret. It's an amazing time. It is an amazing time. You won't want it to end. And I hope you will consider it. Great Valentine's Day gift for your spouse. If you do that sort of thing. I'm going to bring my, that's what I'm doing for my wife. I'm bringing her to a retreat. Anyway, there wouldn't be a retreat if it wasn't for my wife. I think she's bringing me. I'm not bringing her. Anyway, check it out. It's right on the front page of the website. I hope you'll do that. I was talking to Roger from Virginia and a question. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, Dan. As I mentioned, I'm 65, retired. Other than putting money in my 401k, I've never got involved in the financial markets. We've been, our investments, my wife is a realtor, so we actually invested in some real estate. We have some rental houses.
Oh, good.
But we just sold a house I grew up in, I inherited. And after paying our tithe and some bills off, we have about $200,000 left. And my question is, as a partner, I went on and looked around at your site, and one of the things you said was you need a financial advisor. So my question is, can I just go by your advice, or should I hire a separate financial advisor to help me allocate that money?
You don't need a financial advisor. Boy, that must be something old video on there. But there, I think you can do it yourself. If you're, you know, some of it you might want to use in real estate since that's what you're comfortable with. That might be a possibility. But I would do the same thing that you're going to do with this 401k at the same place. So because you only want to get familiar with one, you know, one trading platform and how it all works. So I would just do it at the same place. So that would mean you would have an investment account with this money in it. And you would have this, your IRA account with your old 401k money in it. So,
okay.
But that, and follow now, but here's the only thing that I would ask you to do, Roger, and this is important. So when you look at your 401k and you look at this investment account, look at it as one pot of money. So if the asset allocation model on the website is saying you should have 7% in industrial stocks, it's 7% of the total of those two. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, make
right.
sure that you consider them, you know, one pot of money as opposed to two separate accounts with two different strategies. So you may decide to put, well, I need 7% in industrials. I'm going to buy these three stocks, but I'm going to put that all in one account. That's fine. You know, so your industrials are over there. But I would suggest that you always treat all of your monies as one pot.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you for your advice. I look forward to following you and enjoy your show.
Thank you. And I appreciate you partnering up with us. What a blessing. Thanks, Roger.
Come back to Richmond.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it. I'm doing it. Yep, thank you. Let me go to Cindy. Cindy's calling us from Florida. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Dan. A brand new partner as of last week.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, and I have to just tell you, first of all, I feel like I've done more in the last few days than I've done in the last 20 years. I only wish I'd have found you a lot sooner.
That's the number one comment I hear most of the time from people that wish that.
Well, it's overwhelming when you look at the markets and you want a full plan for retirement. So narrowing it down to biblically responsible companies is fantastic. It's kind of a little bit embarrassing that I hadn't thought to do that sooner.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We're here now and we're moving forward. And
good.
I've done a lot of work and I kind of want to tell you where I'm at. I've watched probably 75% of your videos.
Okay.
I do have a 401k through my employer.
Okay.
I've got an IRA And it's all fairly small because I took 12 years out of the workforce to stay home and be mom. So I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Okay.
Now, my first thing I did was I investigated what those accounts were invested in, of course. And the IRA, you know, was just a S&P index fund, which you know the top holdings in that are not only biblically irresponsible, but pretty much the front runners in leading, you know, industries that are egregious to biblical principles.
Yes.
So I immediately sold all that off and just went to cash. Now, some my 401k, I don't really have much to control over that. You know, the employer picks those funds. So I'm focusing on my IRA. Okay. So what I've started doing is I've got the asset allocation thing, and I've got that loaded and printed it out, and I've only got about $15,000 in cash to play with. So what I did was I broke it down percentage-wise, as you have laid out in your tracker.
Yes.
So what that looks like then is maybe 2 to 4 potential buys for each category, but I'm only dividing $15,000. So in some cases, my tracker, I've got only six shares of IP, 10 shares of CAT. So it's tiny. So am I on the right track?
Yeah, you are on the right track, but I wouldn't break it down too much. In other words, I would break it down in the sector, but I would probably tell you just have one position in a sector. Don't try to have more than one.
Right.
Next go around, you know, as you continue to contribute over the years and months and it grows a little bit and you get another little pot of money, then use that for the next sector and or you know, add to an existing sector with a different position. So it's really going to take you, you know, a long time. You know, it might take you 2 years to a place where you've got, you know, everything placed in a good diversification, you know, going. And that's fine. You know, there's no sense of urgency. But stick to the plan. Just do it a little bit, you know, you're going to have to do it a little bit slower, which is fine.
Okay.
And that's how you need to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, so that makes sense because I was concerned about breaking it down too much and then I'm paying, you know, $5.
Yeah.
For each transaction and only getting 6 shares or something. So,
right.
I'll break it down a little less. Then I'm a little confused about the Timothy funds. Would you suggest I put my cash in the in that? I think it's a Fidelity. No, it's not a Fidelity. It's a Vanguard, the VFIIX, or the Timothy.
Yeah. So I would say that you would, if you want to put your cash in with your brokerage, I would use who do you use? Who are you using or haven't you
Fidelity.
Done that yet? Fidelity? Yeah. I would put it in that FDUXX, which is a Fidelity money market account.
FDUSX?
FDU. It's the first thing on the buy list. When you scroll down in the commentary section, it's the very first thing on the buy list. So you can use that. They might have another one, a different money market account, but that would be fine. Yep.
Okay, because that's going to be less fees if I do it with.
Yeah,
them,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah. You want to do that? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. The other question I had. So once I get this all organized, so what I went ahead and opened up a Roth IRA as well. So right now, this is all in a traditional IRA. Would you suggest I continue to do my my auto investment into the traditional or the Roth?
The Roth. Everything should be Roth.
Okay.
And I would even suggest to you you might not be able to do this or really want to do this, but if you could move a couple $1,000 every once in a while over to the Roth, yes, you would have to pay tax on that this year, you know, for the year in which you do it. So next year when you file your tax, you're going to get a 1099. You have to pay a little tax on it. So your return, you know, you might not get as much money back or whatever, however it works out. But I would want you to work towards getting it all over into the Roth.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I called Fidelity, and they did say, yes, you'd have to take the tax hit on the full amount, but I didn't think about breaking it down.
You can take it down. You might have six shares of a stock. You can move that over to the Roth and whatever that is it is, you know. Towards that. That would be
okay.
And everything you put in, new money, just in the Roth.
Okay, yeah, that was my plan.
Yeah.
All right, good. And then the other question was, once I get this all organized for myself, I have a, for my son, I have a UTMA. And I'm just over 2,500 in there.
Good.
So I want to, well, my first thought was he wouldn't know about it for many years, but he's proving to be fairly responsible. So I'd like to start him getting involved in doing some investments as well. What would you recommend there?
I would probably do a Robinhood account for it, or just do it in the same place and have him, you know, start thinking about it and watching it, you know, at that time. But I think you're on the right track. Keep adding to it. I got to run here. I'm at the end of the hour. But I think you're on the right track. Do it. Help him in any way you can. In doing that, I think that would be a great, great plan. I'm sorry I got to run, Cindy. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate your partnership. You. God bless you. Folks, if you got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless. We've got another hour left. More financial issues after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.